Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Gallant. It's The Killer Bees. Congratulations to Jeremy Branham. Papa!
It's the Bee Gees!
The Bee Gees are back. It's good to see you, buddy. How you been?
My man, always good to do shows with you. Since we didn't know when we were able to give the full details, welcome Crew Branham to the world.
What a name. I like
it. Yeah, creative name. Glad everything went well. Everybody's happy and healthy, and that was the main thing. And always happy to get a new member of the Hive in here, but Jeremy with some much-deserved time off to take care of his new son and his wife and everything they went through. But very, very, very happy to announce that. That's good news.
I'm very pumped for him as well, and I can only imagine, you know, all the just things that are going through your head before something like this, and yeah, for it to actually come out and everything's okay, this is fantastic.
No question about it. And so we wish them the best and everything like that, but in the meantime, we'll have some fun. And PC yesterday, you today, couldn't ask for two better ways to start off the week, so we've got plenty to get to. And based on how long you and I have known each other, and with you, you know, my dealings with your employer when you were over at the Highway to Hell and them being the flagship for the Houston Texans. I mean, I was watching Little League Baseball last night on the couch, and Lisa came running in and she goes, "Oh my God, Jamie Roots is dead." And I just stopped and I was like, "Wait, no way." Because, you know, he was in good shape and he was, you know, mid 50s. And then when you saw the statements and you started to, you know, I started scanning Twitter and started, you know, reading the statement from the Texans and the Facebook post from his wife. And you're like, oh, no, man. I mean, he was here like a year ago promoting his new book.
The book, right.
Right? Because we were talking about he was adding everybody
on
LinkedIn and Facebook.
I was like, okay, I wonder what this is all about. And then, yeah, the book was about to be released. This is the statement that his wife, Melissa, released. Her family's heartbroken to confirm that after a battle with mental health issues, Jamie Roots passed away Sunday, August 21st. In Houston, Texas, Jamie was best known for his devotion to his family and friends, also former president of the Houston Texans, retiring in 2021. Jamie was a dedicated Houstonian who loved his city and touched so many lives through his professional, academic, and philanthropic work. Our family is requesting privacy and will not be responding to media inquiries. The details of a celebration of Jamie's life will be announced at a later date. And this is the part that just bums you out the most, because it's hard not to read between the lines here,
right,
Joel.
Right.
If you or a loved one are thinking about suicide or experiencing a health crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline right now at 1-800-273-8255. Just awful to read that.
Like you said, when you got to that point in the statement, you knew without having to say another word, and you're just like, that's why whenever you see all these different, you know, ads and these people that are out there saying, when you think you know someone or what they're going through and you really don't, because from afar, you know, you look at Jamie and say, dude's like got everything. He's got the whole world going for him. He's got a beautiful family. He's had 2 decades with the Texans. He's got a book. You know, he had the opportunity, short period of time, to run the Dash and the Dynamo, and he came from MLS. So he's always been in sports, and you just don't know what how a person truly, you know, what they're dealing with. And that's a shame. I interviewed with Jamie, true story, but when the Texans were, when the NFL approved the franchise and they were getting ready to hire, you know, he called me over and we sat down and talked about me coming over from the Rockets. And at the end of the day, it was a lateral move, and I had already had many years with the Rockets. I decided to stay. But we left it on very, very good terms, and you could tell just how sharp a guy he was. But when you think about the Texans, and we could talk about, you know, forever and a day, the success on the field with what they did and what they didn't do. But from the standpoint of selling out from game one, loading up on sponsorships and suite sales and everything being sold out for like the majority of his 2 decades. And literally, truth be told, he and Bill O'Brien butted heads, which is why he decided to leave. But that man was more responsible for making that franchise stay in Houston by being financially viable. That he did a ton for the McNair family.
He certainly did. I've only had one interaction with him. I thought it was not going to go so well. I always thought it was funny meeting Joel, people in Texans brass, because at the flagship station, while maybe my bosses never spoke to me for things that I said about the Texans, I know that I probably went a little bit further than I would have been allowed to under other bosses.
No.
You know, it's funny. I've always heard people talk about, like, hey, the flagship
station. Here's the envelope, Paul. Want to push it?
We weren't allowed to say things about the Texans. I was like, whoa, I don't know about your experience, but my experience, I was. But I remember I met him for the first time, and he couldn't have been nicer. And it definitely, you know, made me feel a little bit better about the actual organization. That's just one story. That last part, I can't help but read. And you know, I think everyone has probably known someone that has, you know, taken their own life. I know that I have one of the first friends I made here in Houston. She did that. There's some other people in my life that I'm like not 100% sure, and I don't even really want to know the answers about it. All we can really say is, first off, we're thinking about the Roots family and everyone that he has touched in their lives. But also, you know, if anyone is out there, like, there always is somebody willing to listen. You might not think so, but reach out, talk to somebody, talk to that hotline that they gave out. Just absolutely sad. So Jamie Roots, dead at age 56.
Yep.
Former president of the Houston Texans. Not really a natural way to transition out of this, Joel, but today is a big day in Houston sports because we are finally seeing Carlos Correa return with the Minnesota Twins. The Twins and the Astros play at Minute Maid Park tonight. A game I actually plan on going to. First game I will be at in 5-6 years. It's been a while since I've been to Minute Maid Park a game. I'll try.
Supposed to have a monsoon of rain starting this afternoon, tonight, and for the next 4 to 7 days.
Am I going to get flooded in? Like,
it's possible.
It's happened before. Have you ever been flooded in a Toyota Center? Because place was.
I was there the night
central.
The night that I was in the building.
Game?
Yeah, remember Dwight stayed late.
Yeah,
Les Alexander got caught in the middle of it. Oh my God, that was brutal when everybody had to stay in the building for an extended period of time. Absolutely, I was there that night. We were doing the game.
But that's a me problem. It's going to be cool to see Carlos Correa back out there.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan and I were talking before the show. I don't think that for any reason anybody has any even inkling to boo Carlos Correa. The dude should get a standing ovation. You know, if anything, the people to blame for him not being here any longer was, you know, his agent in the Astros and whoever couldn't come. We've had many national people on the show that said they questioned whether the offer that he signed with the Twins was ever on the table for Houston because Scott Boras and whoever involved decided the Astros make too much money and are too big of a market team to have to discuss that. And for all he's done for the franchise, they were looking long-term big money. For whatever the case, the guy's legacy is set in stone as an Astro. You know, the runs to the World Series, the title itself, the Correa time, what do you got to say about us now? What are you going to say now? All the different quotes, all the different things. It's a legacy built on positives, and that's the way you should treat him tonight. And he obviously deserves, we always kid about who gets a tribute video. He deserves the tribute video as well.
Right. I mean, think about all the things that he did in big-time spots. I believe that the Astros became relevant when Correa joined the show, the 2015 team. When they added him, it added a much-needed shot in the arm. And I'll go back to Game 4 of that ALDS against the Royals. I know he had the error in that game, but he was 4-for-4 with 2 home runs in a game that I think is largely one that they lost due to Will Harris falling apart. You have the 2 walk-off hits that he had, the walk-off double in 2017, the walk-off home run in 2019 against the New York Yankees. You have a home run that he had in Game 5 of the 2017 World Series, which is, I think, arguably the greatest baseball game of all time. And you, of course, my favorite moment for Carlos Correa had nothing to do with any of the things that he did on the field in the big-time moments. It's when he grabbed the microphone like he was a wrestling heel, looked directly at it, and basically called out anyone who would question the Astros. Whether you thought the Astros cheated or not, I liked having somebody that was saying, hey, bleep all you guys, because that should be everyone Astro fans' mentality to somebody who accuses you of cheating. Whatever.
You had a lot of guys that took the high road, and you had a lot of guys that were borderline, always border on professionalism in class. And there was a moment at a certain time where you finally needed someone to just say, enough is enough. And if you don't like it, then F yourself and get out.
That's awesome.
And I think, you know, it's much like, and you can relate to this more than most, it's the Big Poppy speech on
this
the field.
Our bleeping CAD after the
This is our effing city. Yeah. I mean, That's that bonding kind of moment between the athlete and the city that will never be forgotten. And that's just another reason why he has solidified a legacy here, whether he lives here and ever plays here again or not, that says to everyone around, hey, while he was here, and yeah, you can say there's the big moments. There's, because I think some people forget about the Royals series you're talking about. But he was the first overall pick. He was the guy that, you know, grew up and we watched get better and mature as an Astro. And then when you start checking off some of these big moments as well, whether it's showing the leadership, the massive mound visits, or the home runs and obviously his stellar defense, there's a ton to love about Carlos Correa, and you know that the fan base should always feel just a certain kind of way, and it should all be positive.
And there are some moments that you could look back at and maybe laugh at or make fun of. I think that the press conference that he and his wife Daniela did after he was injured with the broken rib is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
The masseuse, and was it? Was there a swing involved? And I mean, there's all the questions that came out. And that was the beginning of the legend of Daniela that everybody blamed her for everything.
Yes, they did. Yes. Look, that maybe was a little unfair, but you can sort of see how that stems from, too, where he proposes to her.
Oh, she's coming back tonight, too, you know.
After winning the World Series. I know.
I promise you, on Houston Life, my wife's station, at 3 o'clock today, their number one guest is Daniela.
Oh, it's going to be Daniela.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What are they going to talk with her about?
I do not know.
The do's and don'ts of massages?
I mean, maybe
kind of topical,
you know,
still.
From the fact that their marriage was made by meeting here in Houston and the fairy tale continues.
Okay. Oh, the fairy tale. Yeah, I like that. But look, if you got favorite memories of Carlos Correa, you can bring him up.
I
do at one point want to ask the question, like, where does he rank in the grand scheme of things among Houston athletes? I put together a list and I feel like he wouldn't be that high up on the list. But coming up next, as we continue to talk about the Houston Astros, a recent power ranking suggests that the Astros could be up for a repeat of last year. Yeah, I'm feeling so good about this one. We'll tell you what we're talking about next. It's the Killer Bee Gees, Paul Gallant, Joel Blank, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Before we go to the break, I'll tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I love the people at Apollo Men's Health, starting with Dr. O, because I love the fact that they are focused on helping people on a daily basis. And that means they can get more energy in your life for males and females. I see them in the lobby all the time. They're just feeling drained, and they don't have any more energy when they have so much more to do in the day. Then they see Dr. O and his staff, and they figure out all the different ways, from B12 shots to hormone therapy, how they can get it back, how they can feel more energized throughout their day, and check all those things off their to-do list while making sure by the time that they look back on their day, there's nothing that got swept under the rug or left on the wayside. You can be the same way. Get the help you need. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, we all experience issues, especially as we get older. And if you don't address them, they're only going to get worse. But if you bring them up, the people at Apollo Men's Health can help. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Go to Apollo Men's Health today. Start up by their website, apollomh.com. Check out all the services that they offer and how they can help. Then when you see something that might be the solution to the problem you're dealing with, set up an appointment. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then show up and be honest with them when you are talking about what you want to get to. Your goals, your objectives. They're going to ask you questions. You're going to give them answers. They're going to put you on a plan that works. They're going to get you results. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant in for Jeremy, the father, Branham. Joel Blank to my left. This song comes on at a wedding. Get out of my way. I will interrupt the conversation. This is my time to shine. This is where get down.
You are one of the only people that I can say I truly could see you with a black butterfly collar shirt and a white pantsuit while you do clear the floor. You would wear white to someone else's wedding, but it would be in a suit format so that you could cut some rugs to a song like that.
You know
this.
What? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be that disrespectful, but I definitely will. If you are talking to me and that song comes on at a wedding, I've done this before, I'll just be like, bye. And then then I'm out. Because that is my favorite song to dance to.
It look, BGs are so underrated still, and they should get more credit as one of the great bands of all time. I still go back to the fact that I was watching a doc on the treadmill one day, and they had It was like the behind the scenes of the making of Saturday Night Fever.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Oh my God, Paul!
That's John
Especially
Travolta,
if you
right?
Like, if you like the soundtrack, yeah,
I gotta watch it.
But so it was like from the guy with way too much money that was just this rando weird dude that actually had a thing for Travolta that saw him on the Sweat Hogs on Welcome Back, Kotter, and wanted him to be in a movie so he could actually get to know him and stuff like that too, and how that came about, and then filming in New York with no budget. And then all of a sudden realizing, like, because of the phenomenon of John Travolta, how both sides of the street were, like, 30 deep and, like, for a mile down the street and all these things. And then from a Bee Gees perspective, this guy was, like, this international businessman, the guy that was producing it. And so through someone else he knew in a record label, they knew this random band in, like, wherever it was, Australia or whatever, the Bee Gees. But they didn't know anything about him, but they said, here's the premise of the movie. We're looking for a soundtrack. Dude, they got back a cassette tape, like, I guess a couple months later. The cassette tape, they would later figure out, had 5 number ones on it.
Damn.
They did songs for the movie that they played on a boombox with different scenes in the movie so they could get the vibe of what the song was going to be playing. But when they realized, looking back on it, the Bee Gees, they were struggling. They were doing covers. They were doing all these different things. They didn't even know if they were going to stick together that long. They did it. They just went in and put down 5 or 6 songs on a cassette. 5 of them turned out to be number ones off that album.
Damn. I wonder how much they got paid for that first one, because all the ones afterwards,
you know,
are the
musicians
ones
on their first albums and concert always get screwed.
Totally, the
label gets all the money.
Yeah, 100%. So this is what we're talking about with the Houston Astros. There is a list that was put up on sportsillustrated.com. It features the power rankings of the top teams across baseball. The Houston Astros are not in first place, not in second place, not in third place. They're in fourth after being in third last week. Fourth behind the Atlanta Braves, who just took 2 or 3 from them over the weekend. 2, the New York Mets. Number 1, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
At least they're ahead of the Yankees.
That is good.
So they got that going for them, which is nice.
The New York Yankees are 6th, which is pretty incredible considering they have been free-falling. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the hot dog. Did you see that?
Yes.
That's disgusting. That's a crime against humanity.
Yeah, I did see that. That was sweeping the nation on social media last night, by the way.
Just absolutely disgusting. Like hot dog brine plus beer.
And not for anybody sitting around him. Not a great visual either.
No. He put a straw into a hot dog. He pulled the
center?
I don't even want to know. The gross stuff in the middle of the hot dog. He pulled it out.
Everything from the rooter to the tooter, Paul.
Put it in the beer. Drank it. Wonder what that tasted like? No, I actually don't. But the Astros are in 4th behind 3 National League teams, Joel, which I do believe means that they're thinking that the Astros are going to lose in the World Series again this year. Pull a late 90s, early 2000s Atlanta Braves.
So it is possible, but I think that the positive you take out of it is they're the odds-on favorite to win the American League again, which is fantastic. That'd be 6 years in a row. When you look at it, it's kind of like the same thing that you would do when watching conferences in football. You hope that the National League beats the hell out of each other. You hope that the series are long, that the starters are going on short rest, that, you know, the Braves have suddenly become, and we saw it firsthand this weekend, the Braves are for real. And for as much as everybody has thought it was going to be, you know, Dodgers, Mets, Mets, Dodgers, the Braves are a very strong voice in that discussion. And so you hope that those 3 teams really make it difficult on each other until they get there. And then you take your chances. I mean, as long as you got Verlander in Game 1, I mean, you got a horse. And Frombers, look, their starting pitching has been, you know, the strength of this team all season long. I think that if you tell me they're going to be there again, that's all you can ask for. I just know, and I've stressed it on the show many times, you know, over and over again, it's not about getting there anymore. The importance and the magnitude of winning another one for this franchise is just, it's imperative. And so you hope that, you know, they bring their best in a 7-game series and that they come out on top.
To be remembered throughout history, they need to win a second one. Mm-hmm. This is not
and to erase a lot of the past.
I'm with you there. I
the
feel
narrative
like, though,
is cheaters and asterisk. And the I just said, you know, you win the first one that everybody's talking about and associating the negativity with. But you have the longevity of this five-year span, and then you win another one, and it's like you have to, if they win another one, you have to tip your cap to the talent, to the longevity, and the fact that with hardly anybody left from the 17 team anyway, you finally get the national narrative to be just shut up and respect the fact this team is damn good.
Yeah, I think for the casual baseball fan in particular, you're right there. I think people that have been following baseball, I think they're starting to realize, okay, I mean, they were this damn good all the time. They didn't have to do what they did probably, but they did. Here they are yet again, despite losing key free agent pieces in George Springer and in Gerrit Cole and going even further back in Dallas Keuchel. Of course, with Carlos Correa, too. And yet they are continuing to maintain. So I'm going to throw you guys on the spot with an impromptu game. I mean, I know we all play this, but it goes by a little bit of a different game. But as far as our potential opponents for the Astros in the National League, let's play a little game called Mary, Passion, Kill. Mary, Passion, Kill. There are three teams that you could potentially play in the World Series based off of these power rankings. Mm-hmm. You can marry them. This is the one that you definitively want every single time you go up against them in the World Series. You can pass them. It's just a one-time thing. You think you can beat them in the one-time thing. Or you can kill them. You don't want any part of them in the World Series. Between the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Braves. Play it. Marry, passion, kill.
So, you ready, Brennan? To me, I'm going to say this. And the kill... The one that I don't want any part of is the team they just got done playing. I just think as much as everybody looks past the Braves just, they have that kind of X factor that I think from an Astros perspective, you don't fear the Dodgers. And the Dodgers lost Walker Buehler. And the Dodgers already know in the back of their mind that there's something mysterious about the Astros. So I would say you want the Dodgers first.
Okay.
You definitely don't want the Braves, so you kill them. And then whatever you say about the Mets, I think, you know, anytime a team can... You have Verlander, so you know the impact of having an ace. If you can bring DeGrom and Scherzer to the party, no matter what else you have on your team, you got a real chance.
That's what scares me about them. So I've been back and forth on this. I feel like it really is a coin flip when you go up against the Atlanta.
Because the Astros had the Mets number, but they never saw either guy.
That is a great point too. I forgot that those guys weren't actually out there. Yeah, I'm killing the Mets. I don't want any part of the Mets. I just don't. Even though there's a part of me that would like to see a bit of a reunion so I can go back in time and like really dive into that 1986 National League Championship Series. But whatever.
Did you watch the doc?
The Mets doc. Oh my God. That's one of the best ESPN docs. That's
really good.
It was fantastic. And you know, I tend to think that everyone in New York loves the smell of their own farts a little bit too much, but that was a damn good documentary. The team that I am passioning with, I am doing that with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Here's why. I want the Dodgers so badly. I want them more than anything. I want them.
That sounds like passion.
And I just want them once because I want it. I want to just reinforce
more than passion.
Two zip. I just want to reinforce that you loser slobs that go to that stadium, stab people in the parking lot from time to time. I want you to know who daddy is, but I don't want to play you again because I feel like you would probably, you know, at least once the Dodgers would probably win. And then with Mary, I feel like the Braves are the team that they can beat.
Really?
Of these three. Yeah. I know the series didn't go well this week and I know it didn't go well last year either, but to me, the Mets, the Dodgers, there's a little extra juice to them that makes me feel concerned.
Well, from a media perspective alone, if you get New York or L.A. in a series with Houston, and you know how the networks love New L.A., Chicago, New York, that already adds a little extra.
That'll just be annoying.
No doubt.
Oh, my God.
Well, you already look at the promos, MLB and MLB Network, and it drives me nuts and bonkers and batty. Between Major League Baseball's commercials and the MLB Network, when they get ready for the playoffs, they have Arizona Diamondbacks players. They have they have one little quick cameo highlight of Altuve, and the rest are close-ups of Soto and close-ups of guys that are going to be lucky to be sniffing the playoffs. And the team that's been a mainstay in the American League can't even get one close-up of a player and an ISO shot. It's a quick highlight of Altuve. Like, kiss my ass.
I agree with you on that front. And also on top of that, it's just as far as like the New York consistent, it's all about the New York team. I am still mad about after the 2015 one-game playoff where the entirety of the coverage about the Astros winning the one-game playoff against the Yankees was about, where do the Yankees go from here? What's next for the Yankees? It's like, hey, the Astros just won this. Do you guys not know any Houston Astro? Is that what we're really talking about here? Which actually was probably the case. But here
we are.
I'm not
sure you're aware of this, but the Yankees won the World Series last night.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Against because the New York Yankee Mets. Fans have, they've won two in a row, and they beat Max Scherzer, so therefore they won the whole freaking thing.
Oh,
we're back, baby.
Put your wife beater on, baby.
Can you
the
say
Bronx
that?
Bombers, baby. They haven't lost 14-17. They won 1-1.
Can you call them that? Can you call it that? That piece of clothing that you just
Well, that's what they're wearing.
Well, I know, but
I got my gold chain on. I got my Jorge Posada jersey on. And yeah, I threw a bottle at a small child who was wearing a Mets jersey. It's fine.
Forget
it's the
about
Bronx.
It. Forget about it, because that's the kind of offensive term that we like to use when we talk about the cheaters in Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, God. Some of the things that you heard from some of those absolute Neanderthals. The worst. He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant.
Wait, I'm the worst?
New Papa, Jeremy Branham. No, just the Bronx people. They're dirty savages. They're dirty people that live in 300-square-foot like little hovels and pay $2,000 a month, even in the Bronx for that. Coming up next, we've heard a lot from Cal McNair recently. And guess what? Cal McNair is doing an AMA later today. If he had to answer anything honestly, what would you want to know? We'll talk about that next right here. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bee Gees, Joel Blank to my left. I am Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham, who is a new dad. Congratulations to Jeremy. We'll hear from him in a couple of weeks, but definitely hope he enjoys time
I was
with
just
the wife
thinking
new
about
kiddo.
This during the break, Brendan. We might want to do a diaper party with the guys at the station for Jeremy.
A diaper drive?
Well, we always it was a daddy diaper party where the guys all get together and drink beer and eat pizza and hang out. But in order to be at the party and hang out, you have to bring a box of diapers.
Makes sense.
I'm telling you, it was a huge hit for us.
Those things are expensive.
Yeah.
As hell.
You don't realize it as a single guy forever until you get married and realize, damn, that's how much a box of diapers is?
I've been talking with my sister who just had a kid in on Halloween, and I'm the kid's godfather, which I'm excited about, but also like, whoa, now I have to be responsible. Yikes. But she's been telling me just about the amount of absolutely rancid diapers that she has had to deal with. I'm not looking forward to that part, but I guess once you start changing the diaper, it's just like, all right, it's just a second nature.
Branham's a numbers guy. But I literally stopped in my tracks last night when we were in the kitchen and the kids were at the table eating dinner. And we had Channel 2 on. And I looked up on the news and I was like, did you do this story this morning? She's like, and she was like over, couldn't see the TV. I go, no, seriously. Do you read the graphic that I don't even care about the story. Did you read the graphic at the bottom of the screen? Average cost of child. $350,000 by the time they're 18. I'm
yep.
like, what the hell is that?
Yep.
I go, we got two sitting at the table.
I don't even want to know how much my parents paid on me and my sister's bougie asses. Bougie diapery asses. With the two schools that we went to and then all the, you know, private school education and all that stuff. Yikes. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. Cal McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans,
yes,
was supposed to hold an AMA tonight at 6 o'clock. I guess it has been delayed. This was going to be on Reddit. I imagine that has something to do
I've heard
with the passing of Jamie Ricks.
A media circus over at NRG today because of Jamie.
Can only imagine. So we will probably see Cal McNair on Reddit at some point.
I will be serving burgers and hot dogs. And you guys can ask me life questions, and I will be here to answer them. Like, what's my high score on Galaga?
Well, what is your high score on Galaga?
1,643,000.
That's impressive. That's pretty impressive.
I have the first four high scores on the game in my office.
If you have a question for Cal McNair, who is joining us now live in studio, 713.
Cal, not on a mobile. I'm here in person because I'm not doing it at night. because we've postponed it.
713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN if you have a question for Cal.
Nick is smart. Nick is our general manager. Nick is the guy that has a plan that I follow on a daily basis because he told me so.
What is that plan, though, that you follow on a daily basis? Can you give me some of the, you know,
yes,
finer points?
I look in the mirror every day and I can recite it. I'm okay. You're okay. And at the end of the day, gosh darn it, we're all okay. And we have a championship caliber football team. Those are it.
Okay. Well,
I said okay.
Cal McNair in studio with us. So, okay. That's Nick Caseria. Okay.
I said it several times.
I heard you.
I counted them.
Okay, calm down, Cal.
Okay.
What does Jack Easterby do?
Jack is my best friend.
Best friend?
Jack is peanut butter to my jelly. Jack, well, Hannah has something to say about that, but that's when we get the crunchy, nutty peanut butter. But other than that, when we go crazy, Jack is my best friend, and he is the guy that always has my back and front and sides. And we go to church together and have brunch together, and I trust him.
Okay. So you mentioned Hannah.
He's a big fan of Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss?
As am I.
What's your favorite Dr. Seuss book?
Red Fish, Blue Fish, you know the one he talks about.
Wait, that's a Dr. Seuss book?
Yes.
I actually didn't know that.
It is.
What about Go, Dog, Go?
The Lorax is one of my favorites. If you notice, my mustache is patterned after the Lorax. I have the same kind of facial hair. I love it.
When did you decide that the mustache was going to be your thing?
When my face looked like it did for years, and I decided that something had to cover it up.
Cal McNair with us. If you had a real question for Cal McNair, what would you ask him? If we could actually get to the bottom of.
I would like to know, as me, if Bill O'Brien ever planned on asking, telling, or describing to me the value of this DeAndre guy and why we let him go to another city without checking with me first.
Well, would you have actually stood in the way? I mean,
I don't know if you've seen me lately standing up, but I can stand in the way and block most people, including Laramie Tunsil.
You Especially can block Laramie Tunsil.
In the lunchroom, you have not seen me in action, my friend.
What's your go-to in the lunchroom?
Mashed potatoes.
That's it?
Love it.
That's a side.
Well, that's where I start. And then I like to pile on lots of Salisbury steak.
Salisbury steak?
Yes.
Can't do better than Salisbury steak? Come on, you got millions and millions of dollars.
Right, but we save that good stuff for the home. We don't do that in the cafeteria. Both guys are on their own.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so mashed potatoes.
Have you ever tried Jell-O with fruit in it? It's really good.
I've never tried Jell-O with fruit in it. Why are you so into Jell-O with fruit in it?
Because that's what a lot of kids eat, and it's tasty.
Okay. So
fruit as a dessert, I've heard that your producer likes.
Oh, Brendan Riley. Do you like fruit as a dessert?
I'm surprised that Cal is aware of this.
I listen every day because I think that one guy's mean to me.
Who's the one guy?
That one guy, Joel.
Joel?
He's mean. Yeah, he's mean.
Oh, it's Joel.
That other guy, Jeremy, he likes to call me Cool Cat Cal, and I like that.
He does have a mustache.
Like the Lorax.
Here's what I actually want to know from Cal.
Please, tell me.
So...
Hannah's hot, huh? You're a single guy.
I mean, is it weird that, Hannah has a twin? Has that ever been an issue? Like, I've always wondered this about people that have, like, a twin. Is it ever difficult?
Have you ever heard of Foreigner? No. They had a song called Double Vision. It's amazing.
Okay. Look.
Have you heard the line, close my eyes, got double vision?
I'm going to try to ask a serious question here. I can't believe that you're the one that's going to be on the
You haven't done this yet? I thought we had serious questions. Have you ever had lefties? Not anymore. They're closed.
If bleep hits the fan, are you going to stick with Lovie Smith next year? Are you going to throw him out to the curb like David Cullen?
But if all the bleep is on the fan, then it doesn't hit the wall and you don't know if it sticks. See, I'm smart. People don't realize that. I think we have to stick with Lovie because we actually had that bleep hit the fan last year and it didn't go well, so we're on the hook. Why are you laughing at me?
Listen, it's something about your delivery, Cal. It just strikes me as Well,
people say I'm young. A sexier Santa Claus.
Sexier Santa Claus?
I don't have as much beard, but I have all of that, you know, loving about me.
Santa could pull off a stash if he really wanted to try it at some point in time.
The Lorax. Did I tell you that?
Yes, you're very into the Lorax. Yeah. Jesus.
Dr. Seuss.
Let's settle down a little bit. Let's try to advance the reading on some level. All right. He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant.
No, I'm not.
You check that. My bad. I'm
Cool
sorry.
Cat Cal. That's what that Jeremy guy said.
Joel Blank is not in studio.
No, I'm Cool Cat Cal.
It is Cool Cat Cal McNair with
you
us.
You want a burger with ketchup?
He was going to do a Reddit Ask Me Anything tonight.
I was grilling hot dogs. You want a beer?
You are a man of the people, Cal. I really appreciate you swinging by.
I got to go now. I got more charity work.
The Cal Media Studios. I am Paul Gallant for new Papa Jeremy Branham. Joel Blank, we'll go find him. Cal McNair, everybody. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, Texas do have a pair of options to go old school in the preseason game number 3. Which one of these options is actually more appealing? We will answer that for you next right here. It is the Killer Bees, Killer Bee Gees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I've been telling you about them for a long time. Corey's not only the owner, vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. You don't get a title like that unless you know what you're doing and you have the respect of your peers. And that's what you want. When you've got anything going on from a leaky roof to needing a whole new roof and a roof replacement on your business, your commercial establishment, or your house, you want someone you can trust, someone that has the reputation and is out there with everybody else respecting the work that is done by the person that is in charge. And that's what you have with Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing takes care of Houstonians, and you can do it by just going right down the list. Do they have the best warranties in the business? Absolutely. Do they use the best products, starting with CertainTeed shingles? Absolutely they do. So much so that they are one of the 1% of roofers in the entire United States that can be a CertainTeed company, that a single master company, which means that they can do everything for you with CertainTeed shingle master shingles. And that's something that not every company can do. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States. You want it, they got it, you go to Fitz. Fitz takes care of you every step of the way, so much so that they do free no obligation inspections that most companies will charge you a $75 to $100 service fee just to show up at your front door to see how they can help. Fitz does it for free. All it takes is a phone call. You call them at 832-521-3001. They come to you and they tell you exactly what they would do to fix your problem. If you want them to actually come back and do the work, just book the appointment. And before, during, and after the sale, they are going to do fantastic customer service and they are going to take care of you every step of the way. Check out all the different ways they can help you because they do home repairs. They put a fence in my yard 2 months ago. It looks fantastic. Check out all the ways and services that they have that can benefit you by going to FITZroofing.com and then call them 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. Congratulations to Jeremy and his wife on their new child. Joel Blank to my left, the Killer Bee Gees instead of the Killer Bees. In case you don't know, you can hear me with Vanessa Richardson 10 to noon on this very station right before these guys take the air. So we got preseason game number 3 coming up on Thursday. Brendan Riley's laughing at me behind the glass. You know what? It's fair. I'll be honest. Ever since I left the flagship station.
Highway to Hell.
Of two different franchises.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I just don't give a bleep about the preseason, and I can finally say it. I can say that the preseason is stupid. It doesn't matter.
Ooh, we got a fight brewing right
here.
There
is no value to it. It is a waste of everyone's time.
Time out. Now, when you say there's no value to it, you got a guy behind the glass that profits off of playing fantasy football on preseason games.
I went to D.C. this last weekend.
Did you go to get help?
No, but I spent 7 hours one of those days watching preseason football.
Get help.
Now, let me put that in context.
You want me to get the National Gambling Hotline for you? We can find that.
Paul, I made money.
Paul, if you were going to just say Rando City, where one of your best friends
lives, I was watching football with him.
Preseason
now.
Football.
Yes.
Lives now, right? Right? Rando City, one of your best friends you've known your whole life, lives there now. And you find out, before you actually get there, one of your other best friends, who you didn't know was going to be there, is there. Any chance 7 hours of that time when y'all are in the same city you're going to spend watching preseason football?
I don't think we would watch sports at all, to be perfectly honest. Now, that maybe makes me a controversial sports talk show host, seeing as it is my job. But, yeah, I am not doing that.
There's a DVR.
If I'm going to the preseason game, now that's another story.
True.
We watched the Lions game, and then we watched the Commanders game.
Oh, my God.
You watched the Commanders game.
You should watch paint dry, too.
I won money on both of them.
Again, you need help, okay?
Like, this is just not supposed to happen. Like, if my two best friends and I are in, it doesn't matter. D.C. is obviously a hopping metropolitan city. It's not like you're going to Casper, Wyoming. You get out. You get after it.
You can go out and get after it like we probably would. Or, I mean, it's what? The capital of the United States of America and has a ton of cool historic stuff.
Going to go on a bus tour of the capital.
We went out afterwards.
I would rather go see the history than watch a preseason game.
I went to the Smithsonian American History Museum the day before.
Okay, that is respectable. But where did you watch these preseason football games? And please don't say in a hotel room.
His house. My friend's house.
Okay.
He made homemade pizza. Better.
Homemade pizza? How would you rate the homemade pizza?
Oh, he's so good. He's a great cook. Like, honestly, his homemade pizza, I would say, competes with any chain pizza that you could have.
Joel and I are looking at each other.
Why?
We're not 100% sure. We buy this.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know. He's a great cook.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's why we're good friends. Are you kidding me?
Wait, you're good friends with someone because they can cook?
Wow. That's very taking advantage of a friend.
Yeah.
In quotation marks now. Friend in quotation marks offers Brendan free lodging and free food so that he can watch preseason football.
Exactly. I'll do it every single time.
I just want to let you know, we wouldn't be buddies unless I tasted your lasagna. Your lasagna was the difference maker. That's why we're friends.
I got to say, I actually do make a damn good homemade tomato sauce from scratch, but again, that's not...
How much
not...
work does that take from the tomatoes to get it down to
about 5 hours.
I'll pass. 5 hours making sauce and 7 hours watching preseason football.
But I froze them and I put them into 6 Tupperware containers and it tastes just as good as fresh when you
thought. What the hell am I listening to? Martha Stewart or the Killer Bees? What the heck is going on?
Let me tell you about my muffin recipe.
I bet you are a fan of your muffins.
Muffins are good.
Jeez.
All right. Here's the question that Brendan asked. And again, I'm just thankful that I don't have to pay attention to preseason games the way I used to at both of the flagship stations. But I think this is always a good question. Should the Texans treat preseason game number 3, like an old school game, 3, which was traditionally when you would see starters in for the entirety of the first half, which you did see, by the way, in game 2, or an old school game 4, which was, hey, I don't know anyone who's on the field. Those were always my favorite when I was doing the post-game shows on the flagship with Sean Pendergast and Cecil Shorts. And we were like, well, we got to think of something. And the games end like Saturday night at like 10 o'clock. So you're doing a post-game show about a preseason game until 1 in the morning. Again, I'm just telling you how I felt about the preseason games. What would you rather them do? Like go all out like it is an important game where these guys need to get reps, or say, nah, let's just rest everybody and make sure they're healthy for game 1.
So let me be clear first and foremost. I could do without the preseason. It's a pain in the ass, and it's a struggle to watch, and I know we have to watch it, and that makes it worse.
I hate that season ticket holders, too, have to pay full price for those. I would much rather have a joint practice that I'm paying for where the fights might happen.
I completely agree. And when I look at it from a Texans perspective, I think everybody's different. And I always go back to what I know, which is a year ago, when Green Bay decided to rest all their starters for the entire preseason, never get a snap in a preseason game, and they got their doors blown off by the Saints in the first week because they were rusty as hell and they looked terrible and they paid the price. They obviously recouped after that once they started getting their reps and getting on the field. When you look at it from a Texans perspective, they're not that good. And what I saw of Davis Mills was different than the people that are just losing their bleeping minds over a box score and a stat line. And I saw a guy that needs reps. And I saw a guy that needs Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, that needs Brandon Cooks as his number one, that needs to show that when he has his ones around him, that this offense is capable of doing more than the two-minute drill at the end of the first half and a few plays here and there that were hit and miss, like the catch that Nico Collins made. So I need to see them for at least a half, and I need to see them have continuity, and I need to see them look like they can play like an NFL offense. Otherwise, as much as you want to sugarcoat it and just look at numbers in a box score, I think all these Mills Mafia people need to kind of slow down a little
bit. Oh, they needed to slow down already. I mean, I don't even need to watch them to tell them you're crazy if you think the guy's going to be good based off of what you saw last year. Well, I mean, let's just be honest about most young quarterbacks. Like, they're traditionally not the franchise guy. And for as someone who's been out there at most of the training camp practices and who has watched the preseason, one of the themes that I think was consistent from most of the practices I went to and into the second preseason game is that Mills is not really working it downfield unless it's the two-minute offense. And, of course, okay, you had the, you know, completion to
Nico Collins?
Who was the other guy? No, Paris Campbell. They had that, like, that was overturned, but then it got ruled a catch afterwards. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look at all the other catches. Just go back if you, in case you forget it. Instead of watching it, just take a look at, like, the actual play chart. It's missed passes deep, and it's a bunch of checkdown passes that you're seeing thrown to Rex Burkhead and running backs. These are the things that you see out of a quarterback that is taking is what is available to him. Is that a Mills problem? Is that a, hey, my head coach is a defensive-minded guy. I'm going to do what he tells me to do, which is avoid turnovers, which Lovie Smith said at a couple of press conferences this training camp. The theme is that they're not really letting Mills, I guess, go be the best Davis Mills he can be. They are saying, you be a game manager for me. That's not how a quarterback grows. Now, maybe this is just a preseason thing. Maybe it's just a training camp thing. I'm just saying that's been a theme. And a quarterback that is not mobile like Davis Mills, who also is not willing to throw the football downfield unless it's to someone like Brandon Cooks, that does not make me excited about the potential.
Yeah, no, when I look at it and I say, there's so many different ways that this guy's going to be analyzed this season. But in order to get a fair look at him, first excuse in the preseason from what you've seen so far is, well, he wasn't out there with the ones. Okay, well, then put him out there with the ones. And put him out there, you know, under the premise of we need to make sure we're evaluating not only you, but the guys around you to make sure we get the right three receivers, the right running back, because obviously the speculation now is that Pierce is your starting running back because you sat him out last game. But you still got to realize the continuity between him and the offensive line. Kenyon Green, I mean, was it a concussion or a knee injury? We still don't know. It's still being called the injury that he's getting over. But for whatever the case, he has hardly practiced. He's hardly been out there.
With the backups.
But you're assuming that he's the starter week one, so he needs some reps.
And you shouldn't. I mean, look, if you want Mills to have the best offensive line in front of him, I you know, we've seen this before. Young offensive linemen, it is hard to pick things up with the way that the NFL's CBA was negotiated for an offensive lineman to really, I think, get the necessary reps to be 100% by the start of the year. Like, they don't hit each other anymore in practice. Like, it's soft stuff. All you're getting it is in the actual game itself. And in the actual game itself, it's not like you're usually throwing complicated schemes out there from an offense or seeing complicated schemes with stunts and things like that from a defense.
Well, you bring up a good point too, Paul. I mean, look, we need to see the Pep Hamilton. What we've seen so far in the preseason has been Tim Kelly on steroids. We've seen just a continuation of what's driven us nuts offensively for years. And you know what they're going to say? We don't want to give anything away. We don't want to make it too complicated.
The paranoia.
Because, again, yeah, we're not using all of our starters. So why are we going to be showing and try to do things that might get Mills killed? Well, guess what? That's another reason why, for at least a half, we need to see the starters. We need to see that Pep has a different game plan than what we've seen for the last 5 years or so. We need to see that they're going to open it up a little bit, that they're going to take advantage of the guys and the strengths that they have. Because right now, as much as we've been saying, hey, this is the first time in a long time we have positive thoughts about this Texans team, we see light at the end of the tunnel. But we haven't seen it during preseason games.
No, we haven't. There's a lot of paranoia generally in the preseason about, as you said, revealing a hand or something like that. When you said that, Joel, it just got me thinking, you know, if I'm Pep Hamilton, I kind of want to challenge myself. I think everyone's in an agreement that this is a rebuilding year and that this team is not going to compete except for Davis Mills, who says they're going to shock the world. You know what? Whatever. I'll let him say it. It's fine. I have no problem with it whatsoever. Have that mentality. But there's a part of me that kind of wants to see Pep Hamilton say, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to throw out what I can. And if teams adjust to it, I'm going to adapt to it because I'm Pep Bleeping Hamilton. I want Pep Hamilton to have confidence
to
say,
honest,
like, screw it.
The same way we're evaluating Davis Mills to find out in a year's time what he is and what he could be, we're doing the same thing with Pep Hamilton.
We are. And I'm excited about Pep Hamilton. I think there's a lot of things that you take a look at his resume. I feel like that probably should have been the move. That should have been that should have been the guy probably hired as head coach. But whatever. You go with Lovie Smith. Okay. But Yeah, I would like to see a little bit more from the offense. And to answer the question at the beginning of the segment, hey, treat it like game three or game four. I don't know. This is one of those teams where I think every single rep matters. And yeah, you're going to be playing against backups. You don't want to risk injury. Maybe it's all about deciding who's going to make the roster from 40 to 53 in that third now preseason game. But I think all reps help at this point in time, especially for a young quarterback and a young team with a lot of rookies that are going to be playing this
year. No question. With the difference between a Niners team that's going to be competing for a Super Bowl and a Texans team that needs to be making sure they're competing week to week, you should probably see a lot more starters from the Texans than you should for the Niners. So you should have an advantage, but your ones should be out there building continuity.
He's Blank. I'm Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. Congratulations to Jeremy, new papa, on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's something that came back this weekend, and just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. What the hell am I talking about? You'll find out
next. Paternity test?